You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for Where Should We Begin comes from Solaray Supplements. Dealing with invisible discomfort, confusing health issues, wondering, is it just me? Let's talk menstruation, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. And let's talk about them proudly. They're the normal life phases we move through as women. And Solaray delivers support every step of the way with Her Life Stages. This first-of-its-kind comprehensive new supplement line made for women by women offers doctor-formulated solutions at each stage, along with libido support across phases. Find the product for your stage and find one complete, easy-to-take solution you can count on for your most common concerns. The supplements feature clinically studied ingredients and no soy or hormones. Now is the time to exceed your goals, defy expectations, be an unapologetically powerful woman. Own the stage. Visit Solaray.com/Astaire and use code HERLIFE20 to save 20% on any stage's formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
From The Cut and Gimlet Media, this is The Cut on Tuesdays. I'm your host, Molly Fisher.
Molly, this is Mom. I'm just calling to say hi, see what's up.
I only get voicemails from robocallers and my mom. Leaving a voicemail in 2019 requires the kind of unstoppable drive shared by robots, programmed to scam, and by parents, programmed to love.
Hi, Molly, this is Mom. I just wanted to tell you I love you, and I'll text you. I love you, sweetie. Bye-bye.
With the robomails, I know I should just delete them, but with the mom mails, I'm not always sure. Usually, I wind up keeping them like an archive in my inbox until my mom finds an occasion to tell me that my inbox is full and that I should probably delete some. And then mostly what I do is walk around feeling like, at any given time, I should probably be calling my mom.
Give me a call when you get this. Sorry for leaving the voicemail. Bye-bye.
My dad died a few years ago, and he and my mom were the kind of couple that was basically always hanging out. So now, part of me is constantly like, who is hanging out with mom? If I'm not calling her, does she need calling? And if not me, who will do it? And I know that she probably also hates me thinking this way. She definitely doesn't want me to see her as fragile or needy. But no longer being a bratty teen means becoming aware of her as a person. A person who loves me to a degree that seems, frankly, insane and unwarranted. Although I guess the usual word is unconditional. And how do you repay that? How do you do it over the phone? I wanted to find out whether I was alone in my neuroses or whether other people also thought a lot about calling and not calling their moms. And so, as we like to do on this podcast, we asked our friends and listeners to tell us what was going on with them.
My mom and I talk about, like, every day.
Really?
Yeah.
I always love it when my friend and fellow Cut staffer, Allison P. Davis, tells stories about her mom, which she does not infrequently. So I figured I'd start with her.
There's the daily maintenance. There's, like, the emotional dump. There's the, oops, I did something. There's, like, boredom calls where I'm just, like, happy to let her go. Talk about whatever plot of a Hallmark movie she wants to for as long as she wants to.
When do you call her for one of those?
That's, like, Sunday at 4, you know? Just kill some time and there's nothing on Netflix. Might as well let her tell me about that Hallmark movie with Lori Loughlin or whatever.
You just turn her on, like, the radio.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she's like a podcast, the most boring podcast. My favorite, though, are, like, the gossip calls when, like, I'll have been with my sister-in-law or, like, my brother who has he had melanoma on his finger. And
Exciting!
He got his the tip of his finger cut off.
God.
And I saw him before she did. And so I called her and I was like, oh my God, Mom, you thought it was just like a little piece. It was the everything above the top of the knuckle. And she was like, oh my God, did you take a picture?
Allison and her mom are in a pretty good spot now. But adjusting to a phone relationship when she first left for college took a little work.
She would call me every day, and it felt like such an imposition of, like, me trying to assert my independence and become my own person. And I remember going to, like, the school guidance counselor and being like, I just don't know. Like, I feel like she's overbearing, and she's always in my head. And he goes, just tell your mom you don't want to talk to her every day. And I was like, whew, okay, I'm going to do it. So I remember she called, and I was like, Mom, I love you, but I cannot talk to you every day. It is making me feel like I am not my own woman. And she was like, okay. And then just proceeded to keep calling me every day.
So she was just totally undeterred.
Yeah.
Allison's mom persisted until finally Allison laid down the law. She told her mom that she could not call every day, at which point her mom relented. She called every other day. This was college. Allison was experimenting, trying on adulthood, trying to separate herself from the kid she'd been. And, as the therapists say, that brought up a lot.
My mom was Black, and, like, the whole idea of talking back is, like, such a no-no, mm-hmm. you know? In our household, like, you never talked back unless you were looking to get, like, super grounded or, like, all of your privileges stripped away. And there's always sort of the, like, you don't get to talk to me like your white friends can talk to their moms. And so, like, I think I go to college and I was doing that.
Oh, interesting.
And that was some, like, that was, like, my rebellion. Like, I got a nose ring and I talked to my mom like she was a white woman.
Allison was, in other words, experimenting with being an asshole. And the question of how often they should talk eventually escalated into something a lot more fraught.
You know, there was this year that my mom and I, like, I guess, I assume everyone has this year. But she would call, and I was just, like, moody or, like, depressed or just, like, I don't know. I couldn't, like, stand having her as my mom. I feel so bad about it. And I was just so mean to her every time she called, and I was, like, condescending and, like, snippy, and I would give her, like, 2 minutes of my time. And meanwhile, like, I'm, at college. She's paying for everything. Like, I wouldn't have, you know. And so I think she just felt like I was so ungrateful. And so finally one day she just, like, snapped, and I've never heard her scream at me like that. Do you know what we sacrificed for you to be there? And do you know how much it ruins my day and, like, my mental well-being when you treat me like this? And it was a real, like, you need to take accountability. And then she, like, used a lot of profanity and called me a name and then hung up.
What name did she call you?
I feel so sorry, Mom. She definitely called me a bitch. And I was like, wow, that's real when, like, your own mom calls you a bitch. And I was ungrateful. And I was like, okay. And then so she hung up, and I was like, I'll wait 15 minutes, and I'll call her back, and I'll give her my piece of this. And I called back. She didn't answer. Called back an hour later. She didn't answer. I called my dad. He's like, just give it a second. And then she wouldn't pick up the phone when I called for, like, 3 weeks.
Allison had received a taste of her own medicine. The whole episode was the kind of thing that makes you look back and think, what the fuck was I doing?
I don't know what it was about having this, like, punching bag on the other end of the line that I just, like, needed to get something out, and she absorbed as much of it as she could. But, you know, you kind of forget sometimes your mom was, like, a human with boundaries.
Allison and her mom got through it. 10 years later, they're back at their once-a-day equilibrium. And when you talk that often, you're really part of each other's daily lives. In fact, I spoke to one woman who's on the phone with her mom even more often than that, and she sort of made mom conversations her job.
Oh, we talk a lot. We're probably talking, like, on the phone a couple times a day. If I call and I'm like, oh, God, I had a bad day, she'll be like, oh, no, she had a bad day. I had a bad day, too. Oh, no. You know, so we're kind of echoes of each other.
Could I get you to just introduce yourself?
Hey, I'm Alyssa Lynn Paris, and I impersonate my mom.
Alyssa is a comedian and an actor. She makes very popular YouTube videos where, indeed, she impersonates her mom. In the videos, she wears a weird brown wig that bears no actual resemblance to her mom's hair. But that doesn't matter. It's beside the point. The impression lives in the voice and in the energy. The energy of a mom determined to love you very hard.
Come on in, put your bags down. Take your shoes off. I just vacuumed. You want a Fresca? They're cold.
Clean that out. Now it just has pans in it.
Neighbors bought a new car. Must be doing pretty well for themselves. Why don't you call your cousin? She got a new job. Good afternoon. You finally got up. The mailman's really screwing up all my mail.
Each video takes up a mundane mom situation, like visiting home or going shopping. Mom gossips inscrutably about the neighbors. She tries to offload bulk paper towels. She suggests you take your pants off so she can wash them right now. She's ever so slightly, gently unhinged. And Alyssa says the character doesn't stray too far from reality.
I think she's a slightly heightened version of my mom. So, for example, like I had this video of like when I go visit home and there's this thing of like her asking me to shut the lights off and like walking out of closets being like, turn the lights off, come on. So it's like she's not in the closet coming out doing that, but it's my way of being like, it feels so incessant that it feels like no matter where I am or where I go, my mom pops up to tell me to turn the lights off.
Grandma made you these lentils. Why don't you take them home with you on the train? I took a lot of pictures of sunsets. I want to show you all of them. I got about 300. Turn the lights off, come on. I got one with a bird flying over it. I want to frame it.
I do a lot of impressions, and this one is like, there's no part of my body that has to think when I do it.
A little while after Alyssa graduated from college, her dad was diagnosed with cancer. She moved home to help out. While he was sick, Alyssa and her mom spent all their time together. And then after he died, her mom moved in with Alyssa in her tiny New York apartment.
We got really close, and that's kind of the birthplace of these videos, is from all that time spent together and like watching my mom interact with New York in a way that was very funny to me.
Like, what did she do?
Like, just when you walk down the streets in New York, you don't really, it's like your own world. But, you know, my mom will just, hello, how are you? Hi. You know, saying hi to people. Like, it just, you know, no one's doing that in New York. We were in New York for Easter and we had like lit candles in the Greek Orthodox Church. You like at midnight, you light the candles and then all the candles are lit. And my mom, afterwards, I went to blow mine out. She was like, what are you doing? Don't blow that out. We got to bless your apartment. So my apartment's in Brooklyn. We're on the Upper East Side. I'm like, I'm not bringing the candles to my apartment. And she's like, yes, we are. You can't blow this out. So she hailed like three cabs. Of course, all the drivers are like, whoa, 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 no, no, no. You can't have fire in the cab. She's like, no, it's okay. It's okay. It's religious. It's religious. And they were like, no. So, you know, just with that one, I was like, yeah, crying, laughing. Like, this is crazy. You can't do this. And then, of course, finally, you know, there was a Russian Orthodox guy, and he was like, okay, come on in. I'll take you home. And we blessed my apartment. Yeah.
Were you laughing. Was your mom offended that you were laughing, or is she like...
No, because I think my mom knows that, like, she's very self-aware. She has very strong convictions that I really appreciate, because I'm more I can waver a little bit more. I would never do that. Even if I wanted I would never, it's just not worth it for me. Like, she knows it's crazy and ludicrous, but she believes that she's got to get those candles back, so she's going to find a way to do it.
With her videos, Alyssa captures the force of personality required to transport a lit candle across two boroughs. And they all draw directly on real life. When Alyssa moved, they made a video about moving. When her mom visited her in L.A., they made a video about that. A vacation with her mom, grandma, and aunt provided particularly rich opportunities. Alyssa got to watch them all interact with an outsider, her boyfriend.
It was a treasure chest. You know, my boyfriend was there, and he's 6'6", so I think everyone in my family sees that as like, oh, hell yeah, we can
You've
ask.
You got a big one.
Or, not even that, but they won. We can ask him what he wants to eat all the time. Like, I remember he woke up, he was like literally going to the bathroom, like so tired. And my aunt, my mom, my aunt are there just like, you want eggs? I'm making eggs. Why don't I get you eggs? And he like can't even speak. He's like, no, I'm still asleep.
Please,
and,
please.
And then they, you know, he goes back to bed, he wakes up and they're like, well, the eggs are ready. And, you know, they made the eggs 40 minutes ago when he was up, and now he has to eat these like cold eggs.
It's 6:05 a.m. Let's go. We got to go. It's vacation. I want to relax. Bring the mace spray. Someone saw a bear. It's vacation. I'm not doing laundry. I was ready to go down to the beach. I'm not packing a lot. Just 20 egg salads each. I don't care if it doesn't look cool for your Instagram. Wear this. I got eggs. Cooked them 40 minutes ago. They're ready. I caved. I'm doing a load.
My friend Teresa, she went to the beach.
So having him there too, whenever like a new person is in the fold and I see it through their eyes too, it gives me even more stuff, because I'm just like, oh, like I'm remembering. Because sometimes you just you get used to certain behaviors. And then when someone else is around, you're like, oh, yeah, that's a crazy thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, I know my mom, like, I take it for granted that she's going to be, like, sort of constantly trying to hug me or, like, just, like, be affectionate in all possible ways. I sort of just think of that as how having a mom is. But, like,
yes.
Last fall when we were on vacation and my husband was there, my mom, like, at one point was like, oh, here, Sam, come over and sit on my lap. And my husband was like, I'm not going to sit on your lap. Like, what are you saying?
Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh, yeah, that is weird. That is not normal.
Oh, my God. That's so true. Yes. And I really think now hearing you say that, because I'm like, my family doesn't do a ton of touch.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, that's totally what the food and like attention thing is in my family. It's just their way of like embracing you and showing you love is just being like, what can I do for you? What can I get you? How much food do you want? What do you want? Yeah, it's the questions are a hug in a way.
Sometimes you see your mom afresh because you're seeing her through new eyes. Other times, though, it's because you're seeing her in an entirely new situation. My dad died a few years ago also.
And I'm so sorry.
I do feel like that was a real turning point in my relationship with my mom and sort of not just feeling like a new sense of her as vulnerable and as someone who needed me, but also I think in some ways seeing for the first time her on her own, you know, like you get a glimpse inside another mind that like is being left to its own devices in a new way or something.
Totally. We'd known them as our one half of a pair.
Parent unit, yeah.
I was already starting to realize that my parents were adults, and then you lose one and you're like, oh, wow, yeah, this is just a, I can see myself as her. Like, now she's just like me, but a little bit older.
6 months ago, Alyssa moved across the country to L.A. Her mom, meanwhile, is starting over in New York, living on her own. So they've both embarked on new adventures, and they've been spending a lot of time on the phone with each other. How does your mom answer the phone, usually?
We know so much about what's going on that she can just kind of be like, so how'd the brownies come out? You know, it's like very down to the detail. Yeah.
Very resumptive. Yeah. Like very much like you just got off the phone when you're getting back on the phone almost.
That's exactly it. Like we've like no time has passed. Yes. Yes.
And is there a particular way she usually signs off or gets off the phone with you?
When my mom and I start saying goodbye, that's like, we're still 10 minutes to touchdown. You know, it's like, all right, well, let's talk soon. Well, when's the next time what do you got going on for the rest of the day? Okay. Well, maybe we can link up. Oh, well, you know, I got Greek class tonight. And we're not done yet once the goodbye begins. That's just kind of like the third act.
At the end of our conversation, Alyssa and I called up her mom, Linda. And I was very interested to hear Linda's take on her daughter's work. Not every mom would be okay with becoming an internet character, with her daughter making public jokes about her laundry and her lentils. What has it been like to watch your daughter play a version of you now for, like, a much bigger audience?
I absolutely love it. I love it. So many people say, oh, did you know she was doing that? I said, I'm filming it. And I think they're really surprised.
Linda actually helps Alyssa make the videos. She's the one behind the camera. Not only is she okay with the joke, she's in on it.
If I just had to hire someone to film it, they would really not be the same at all.
Because I agree.
Having you there, it and like us having fun even in the moment and you giving me ideas and you like, you being like, no, that doesn't sound quite right, or this sounds more right, or oh, wouldn't this be funny?
Or try this, or whatever, you're right.
The one I'm editing now, it's like mom shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And mom, do you remember you saw copper, like a copper tea kettle, and you were like, oh, copper's really in this
year. Oh, yeah.
Right, so then I just have this runner now of like three times me being like, see, copper, what I tell you, you know? So it's like, like that's my favorite thing of this video.
I also think one of the best things is that I'm walking around the streets in New York or I'm in a restaurant or I'm on the subway and it is crazy that people will come up to me and say, are you Alyssa's mom? And that is so cool. When the videos come out, you know, all the comments, I just spend so much time reading them.
Uh-huh.
And it just warms my heart. Some people say, oh, I wish my mom were like this. I look forward to the days that they're being released.
And I think we were in a place of feeling kind of like unlucky and like that we had you know, lost my dad and that that wasn't really fair and that we didn't have a lot left. And so I think to your point, Mom, yeah, hearing people be like, oh my God, I wish I had this relationship, or oh, this makes me miss my mom who passed. I think it helped us be like, oh yeah, this is lucky. Like having this is lucky. And we didn't know that before.
You're absolutely right. All right, bye, buddy.
Okay, bye, Mom. Love you.
All right, love you. Talk to you later. Okay, bye.
Love you. Talk later. Bye.
All right, love you, honey. Bye.
Okay, love you. Talk soon. Bye.
After the break, when calling your mom is impossible or just feels that way.
Support for Where Should We Begin comes from Solaray Supplements. Dealing with invisible discomfort, confusing health issues, wondering, is it just me? Let's talk menstruation, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. And let's talk about them proudly. They're the normal life phases we move through as women. And Solaray delivers support every step of the way with Her Life Stages. This first-of-its-kind comprehensive new supplement line made for women by women offers doctor-formulated solutions at each stage, along with libido support across phases. Find the product for your stage and find one complete, easy-to-take solution you can count on for your most common concerns. The supplements feature clinically studied ingredients and no soy or hormones. Now is the time to exceed your goals, defy expectations, be an unapologetically powerful woman. Own the stage. Visit Solaray.com/Astaire and use code HERLIFE20 to save 20% on any stage's formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello, I am also Amali.
This week, we're talking to friends, colleagues, and listeners about something that doesn't seem like it should be that hard, but somehow, sometimes is. Calling your mom.
Which is something that I have not done in almost 4 years now, since I uninvited my mother to my wedding. And in the time in between there, we have not spoken or had any contact. And I don't know if I want to call her. It's healthier for me not to be in touch with her, and it's a relief. And when I think about calling her, I'm full of dread. But I also know that someday, you know, she's going to die. And what do I want my last conversation with her to be?
My mom and I had a complicated and not easy relationship.
This is Lisa Miller. She's a writer at New York Magazine.
You know, the whole relationship was more fraught than I think either of us wanted it to be.
Like fighting or?
Fighting, disapproving, judging, you know, you're wearing that, you're going out with him. And I always felt very, like, mad.
What were the things that you think she felt like you didn't understand about her, or like?
Like, we were very different kinds of women.
Describe them. What were the two different kinds of women?
She was very feminine. She was very domestic. She was very aesthetically refined. She had a beautiful house. She cooked beautiful meals. She cared about dishware and silverware and art and rugs. And I was like messy and awkward and ambitious and profane and kind of all over the place. We really had very different ideas about what a woman in the world looked like.
Yeah.
But we were also close, and we were a close family. And so I wanted to share with her myself. And yet when I tried, she didn't respond as I wanted her to. And a lot of times, like, our conversations would flame out. Because then—
How did that sound? What did the flame out look like?
Because then when she wouldn't respond exactly as I wanted her to, I would get really mad and be like, oh, forget it. I don't even know why I called you anyway. And I would hang up on her, and then I would feel bad because I was hanging up on my mom and I was a grown-up, and so I would call her back. And, you know, it was just like a lot of drama. Like, she also wanted us to be close and, like, friends. But we neither of us knew how to do that. She would call me at work to tell me what I thought was not workday appropriate stuff.
Like what?
There was a time in my late 30s when I was not married, and this was a matter of great concern to my mother. Mm. And I had gray hair. And my mother also had gray hair in her 30s, but she was married.
Uh-huh.
And so she thought that my having the gray hair was impeding my ability to be married. And so she would call me at work and say, she would start out by saying, I'm going to say something and it's going to make you mad.
Always a good start. Off to a great start. Can't wait.
And I would say, so why are you going to say it? And she was like, well, I was at the hairdresser and we think you should try dyeing your hair ash blonde. And I would be like, Mom, like, I'm at work. I work in a newspaper. I'm on deadline. I have a very important job. I have colleagues sitting all around me, and we're talking about my hair. And it would just get me so steamed. And the fact was, well, I mean, this is also very momish, but like, I also wanted to meet somebody at that moment. And so she was like cutting right through all of the stuff that I was so proud of and going right to like the thing that I was most vulnerable about.
Yeah.
Which was that I wanted to meet somebody. And then thinking that like she and her hairdresser could cook up some solution to that problem.
Yeah. It's like she's seeing you, but like you're frustrated because she's not seeing you in the right way or something. Yeah.
Like I would see her number and I would be like, oh, this is not going to be good. Don't pick it up because you know where this is going to go. But then I would pick it up.
Why?
Because it's my mom.
Uh-huh.
And like maybe we can finally have the conversation that we both want to have this time, you know, on a Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And then she says the thing about her hairdresser and then I'm like rip shit. And yeah, I would call her back and I would say, I'm sorry I hung up on you. And she would say, I can't say anything right. And I would say, well, that's not true, Mom. But, for example, you can't say anything right about my hair. So, and she would say, like, I feel when I'm talking to you like I'm walking on eggshells. Because, like, she never knew when I was going to, like, explode with rage and hang up the phone. So, yeah, I would apologize.
And then would that feel like it had restored something or?
Enough to, you know, for us to do it again then in 3 days. So my mom died.
I'm sorry.
My mom died in 2011. And I can't even tell you how much I miss talking to her on the phone. I mean, I miss her every single day. And every time something good happens and every time something bad happens and every time I have a success or every time I have a failure or every time something is worrying me, I wish I could talk to her on the phone. And I miss the drama and I miss the tension and I miss her and I miss the fact that even though the conversations were not that satisfying for either of us, we had them.
Yeah.
And, like, my daughter is growing up, and I want to tell her about high school and about, you know, what I cooked for dinner that was amazing. And so what I learn now in retrospect was that even the, like, fraughtness is your relationship. It's, like, in the, like, the love is there in the fraughtness.
Yeah.
And it's there in the drama, and it's there, like, in the continued effort to connect, even if you're not connecting. And I really, really, really miss it.
There are some calls that just don't happen. Not because you're failing to pick up the phone, and not because they're inconvenient or annoying, but because they're impossible now. One listener left us the voicemail she wished she could leave for her mom.
Hi, Mom.
I've been missing your input a lot recently. Is it weird to only start missing someone 10 years after they die? I miss your... It's just the way that you approached life with so much joy. And I wish you could teach me to do that, because I don't think I ever really learned. Would you be disappointed in me because I'm still so scared of everything? Because I maybe don't have the social skills you worked so hard to teach me? Or is that okay? I hope it's okay. I miss you, and I love you.
I think a lot of us imagine that there's some perfect call that we could be having with our mothers. A call where the big questions finally get asked and all the right things get said. So maybe then you put off the call because you aren't sure it will be perfect. Of course, when you actually get on the phone, it's almost never the big things that you wind up talking about. It's laundry. It's lentils.
Next week is the first year anniversary of my mom's death. And right before my mom died, I called her. And it's not something I did very often. I don't like talking on the phone. She didn't like talking on the phone. Any time that she got on the phone with me, it was really quick. All right, what's going on? What's happening? Okay, thanks. Love you, bye. It always ended like that. Love you, bye. I called her. I was making taco meat. And I thought, shit. You know, I could use this taco seasoning, or I could just call my mom. She could tell me exactly what to put in. And she did. I called. I said, Mom, hello. And I said, Mom, I'm making taco meat. What should I put in it? She said, well, make sure you've got peppers in there and onions and plenty of garlic and, you know, cumin, you know, and she walked me through it, and I was really happy. I was really glad that I had called her, because like 3 days later she was dead. And I thought, wow, I'm so glad that that little voice in my head said, you should call Mom. You should ask. You should just call Mom. And that was the last time I spoke to her.
Probably that little voice, that push and pull, it never goes away. You keep wanting to call your mom and then not calling her, or not wanting to call her and then calling her anyway, until finally you want to call her and you can't. Anyway, as we were working on this episode, at a certain point we were like, so, is this just an ad for calling your mom? Is it going to sound like it was sponsored by Big Mom? And then we were like, well, okay, we guess we're fine with that. I mean, it definitely worked on me. I definitely want to call my mom.
Hello.
Hey, Mom. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm relaxed. Plenty of coffee. Reading my book.
This was a meta mom call. I called my mom about calling my mom. You have said before you don't want me to feel guilty or feel like obliged to call you. But
No. But I do.
But I know you really want me to call you, so it's hard
stop
not
it,
to.
Stop it. But you know
did
what?
Did you just say stop
but,
it? Yeah, stop
I am
it.
Fine. Stop it. No, but I don't want you to, because I love hearing from you, and I call you.
Yeah.
And the thing is that I perfectly trust you. I mean, you are the best, because if you can't talk, you're not going to get on the phone. So I don't feel like
that is the lowest bar for being the best that I have ever heard.
Stop it.
If you don't want to talk, you're not going to get on the phone. Good for me. Yeah,
but,
patting myself on the back.
Stop it. That is a good thing. And it's not in you that if I call at a bad time that you're going to talk and grit your teeth and say, I have to do this.
How often do you think we should talk on the phone?
Well, I will say that Andrea and Joe talk every day.
Just throwing that out there.
I will also say, that would drive me crazy.
Really? I feel like you would love that.
No, you know what? I would say, hey, yeah, fine. Okay, I got something I got to do. Or you would say that. You would not enjoy talking to me every day. I mean, I love when we talk, but
what if we talked more?
Well, I'd be good with that.
Okay, well, I love you.
I love you, sweetie. Give Sam a hug, okay?
I will. Love you. Okay.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
That's it for this week's show. We'll see you next Tuesday. I meant to tell you, we got a comment on the podcast. Someone said that
yes,
Molly's uproarious laughter is distracting and sometimes inappropriate.
Let's both have a distracting cackle right now.
And now that I am off the phone with my mom, we are planning an episode about being horny. And what we're really interested in are the unexpected triggers. You know, the things that you personally are horny for, but that the rest of the culture has not caught up with yet. So maybe that's exposed ankles, or pinky rings, or bolo ties, or bike messengers with their little hats. Give us a call. Let us know what you are feeling right now. We are at 920-368-3341. Again, 920-368-3341. Tell us what has got you horned up for spring 2019. The Cut on Tuesdays is produced by Sarah McVee and Olivia Natt. Our senior producer is Kimmy Regler. We're edited by Stella Bugby and Lynn Levy. Mixing is by Emma Munger. Our music is by Emma Munger and Haley Shaw. Our theme song is Play It Right by Amelia Meath, Nick Sanborn, Molly Sarlay, and Alexandra Sauser-Monig. Special thanks to Hunter Harris, Noreen Malone, and Phoebe Unterman. And if you like this show, tell your friends to listen to it. You could even tell your mom. The Cut on Tuesdays is a production of Gimlet Media and The Cut.
Support for this show comes from Vanta. Dealing with loads of spreadsheets, juggling different tools, and having to do manual security checks, it can be a headache to keep up with today's compliance and security programs. Vanta is the trust management platform that wants to simplify things and bring all your trust-building efforts under one roof, making growth smoother for your whole organization. Vanta lets you automate up to 90% of compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, HIPAA, and more. Strengthen security posture and reduce third-party risk. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/vox. That's vanta.com/vox for $1,000 off Vanta.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle. It's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.
First thing in the morning, as soon as you wake up, the to-do list starts.
Does the car need gas?
Hopefully those leftovers are still good.
Why did I get CC'd on
Mom?
No.
You can't escape the to-do list, but you can make the most of your me time with a relaxing shower using Method hair care products. Try Pure Peace Volumizing, Simply Nourish Moisturizing, or Daily Zen Shampoo and Conditioner for daily use. All formulated with long-lasting fragrances and are safe for color-treated hair. Reconnect with the best version of yourself. Visit methodproducts.com to unleash your inner shower.